You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Balls. I'm your host, Harry Kane, radio personality at The Sports Animal in Knoxville, Tennessee, the flagship station for the University of Tennessee, as well as a writer and a reporter for VolQuest.com, the Tennessee Rivals site, of course, covering volunteer football and recruiting. My favorite show of the week, I hope it's one of your favorites as well, is Twitter Tuesday. Going to take segments 2 and 3 to divvy out, go over some of your guys' questions, comments, concerns. This is game week as Bowling Green comes to town on Thursday. But first, in segment number 1, by the way, got a ton of Twitter Tuesday submissions. Thank you guys so much. I would have used them for all 3 segments, but I'm going to blow through them there in segments 2 and 3 because Tennessee made an announcement for the starting quarterback. I'm sure you've heard right now, or by now, but it's going to be Joe Milton starting for the Volunteers. We're going to go over that in segment number 1, hear from Josh Heupel, and go over some more surprises from the first depth chart that was released for week 1, Bowling Green. That's coming up here on a Tuesday show, Locked On Vols. 5 days a week, completely free, wherever you guys want to listen to your podcast. I've got a link in both my Locked On Vols Twitter account, at my personal Twitter account, @_Kaner, plenty of listening options there, and you guys can listen whichever way you guys would like to. So we're here 5 days a week, free on all podcast platforms, talking your favorite team, which is the Tennessee Volunteers, and of course, college football in general. We've got you covered there all across the Locked On Podcast Network. You can tune into your favorite Power 5 conference show on Thursday, September 26th, and Friday, September 27th. That's search. You can find those by searching Locked On ACC, Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, and SEC on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. So let's go ahead and get into it. This is a Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. No surprise, right? I've been telling you guys for weeks upon weeks upon weeks. Not just me. I'm not going to act like I'm a fortune teller here, but it's been the expectation from pretty much every media outlet here in the last couple weeks. It's Joe Milton's going to be your starting quarterback. Joe Milton's going to be your starting quarterback. The Michigan transfer, Joe Milton's going to be your starting quarterback. It was just a matter of if Josh Heupel felt comfortable enough to announce it before the game. We thought last Monday might be a thing because camp was kind of over. Should have known better then. So I didn't really expect it to be yesterday, but here we are. Josh Heupel went ahead and made that announcement. I got a tip on Monday morning at about 10 a.m. that he was going to announce a starting quarterback, so I went ahead and prepared. And again, Lance Daw is our new graphics guy for Locked On Vols. You probably have seen a lot of his graphic work at Locked On Vols on Twitter. I retweet those at _Kaner, and they're on my Facebook page as well. If you guys want to follow my Facebook page, it's at Kaner on Air. Does a fantastic job. Got a graphic up in short amount of time, and saying that Joe Milton is your starting quarterback. So did a great job there, and hope you guys are enjoying that. But it is Joe Milton. He's got the biggest upside. He has the biggest playmaking ability. He can go out there and he can win you football games more so than just be a game manager. You know, Harrison Bailey, Hendon Hooker have tremendous talent. I think they had, for all intents and purposes, a pretty decent camp. I was really impressed with Hendon Hooker. I think there's some playmaking ability there with both of those guys. Don't get me wrong, but it doesn't compare to what Joe Milton's potential and Joe Milton's ceiling is. So I think that's why Josh Heupel went with Joe Milton to be the starting quarterback of this team. Let's go ahead and hear from Josh Heupel. This is when he made the announcement that Joe Milton was going to be the starting quarterback for the University of Tennessee, at least on Thursday against Bowling Green. Here is Josh Heupel.
I mentioned, at the beginning of training camp that we thought we'd have a starting quarterback by game week. Joe Milton will be our starting quarterback. Talked to those guys earlier about that. Not naming a backup. Believe in what those guys are ready to do, given the opportunity. They've continued to grow and compete, all three of them together. Joe's had an opportunity to take a bunch of the reps with the ones here as of late and has continued to develop, but believe in the other two guys as well. And they've handled the meeting room, handled the practices the right way. Excited about that room as a collective group.
Yeah, something there from Josh Heupel as well, saying that, hey, he told the team, he told those guys, the quarterbacks. He specifically had conversations with Hendon Hooker and Harrison Bailey, I guess explained to them, why he's going with Joe Milton, and that they took it very well. He said, I wanted to reiterate that we still believe in those guys. I don't think the message was we're going to have to count on you, because you hope that you're not going to have to count on those guys. You hope that it works out with Joe Milton, that he goes out there and balls out. But if any history has been an indicator here for Tennessee fans and on the Hill, it's you're going to need multiple quarterbacks throughout a season. Hopefully that won't be the case for 2021, but you always want to have some guys ready to roll and staying sharp and locked in during the season, and that's the hope for Hendon Hooker and Harrison Bailey. Not to mention, I think those guys will play on Thursday night against Bowling Green because I think Tennessee will be, all intents and purposes, beating the brakes off of the Falcons. So we'll have to see. But, in talking with some players after the announcement was made on Monday at the media availabilities, of course, we had Jerome Carvin. We had some other guys that met with us as well. And they kind of said, Matthew Butler met with us. And they all kind of said, hey, I mean, they didn't come out and say it, but they were just like, essentially, like, yeah, we kind of knew that was, that was the way it was going to go. Josh Heupel said, hey, he's been repping, that being Joe Milton, repping with the first team for the last 7 to 10 days. I told you guys that the last couple of practices we have been at, it's been all Joe Milton when we've been out there. It's been Joe Milton going up with the ones, and then the other two guys alternating behind them with the twos and the threes. So, Joe Milton is your starting quarterback for the University of Tennessee. Yes, no, indifferent. What do you believe it to see it? What's your guys' pulse on this? You can shoot me a DM or a tweet at _Caner to let me know what you think about the announcement of Joe Milton. But that is who's going to lead Tennessee out against Bowling Green and likely throughout the rest of the season, as long as he does not turn over the football and he moves this offense with a tempo that Josh Heupel wants. All right, so aside from Joe Milton, again, that's not breaking. I mean, it was breaking news, but here on this podcast, we've known that's coming. The depth chart was released for Week 1 Bowling Green. On the offensive end, not a whole lot of surprises. There's a couple of oars all across the depth chart. We know that, not just at the University of Tennessee, but all over college football. A lot of oars. Most popular name on the depth chart is Orr, and that's just an easy way to get out of not naming who you actually want to put out there. And there are reasons for that, right? Josh Heupel said he wasn't going to name a backup quarterback. Well, in my opinion, I think that backup quarterback is Hendon Hooker, and you don't want to name him that because you don't want Harrison Bailey to leave, because you might need Harrison Bailey, and Harrison Bailey's got a whole lot of talent, I think, can play in this offense, even though it would be different, but just not as skilled as the other two guys right now, in my opinion. I'm not speaking on behalf of Josh Heupel, but that's why I think you oftentimes label them as oars, because you might not be sure right now, or it might depend on situation, or you might be trying to keep a player from entering the transfer portal. But at tight end, you had Jacob Warren or Princeton Pham. Both of those guys will play. Left tackle all the way over to right tackle. The offensive line left to right, Darnell Wright, Jerome Carvin, Cooper Mays, Javonte Spraggins, and Cade Mays. We know that that's been the expectation. That's been the starting line for really the last pretty much all of camp, to be completely honest with you. If one of those guys goes down, Cade Mays will slide into guard. If one of the tackles goes down, Dane Davis is your swing man. He'll play both the backup tackles as well. And so offensive line, though shallow in depth, those are the guys we anticipated. Wide receivers, Valus Jones Jr. and Javonte Payton, or Javonte Payton is at one. Both of those guys will play. Valus has missed some time here of late with a nagging hamstring injury, but you know Valus will play. Slot receiver, Jalen Hyatt, Walker Morrell, or Jimmy Callaway. Jimmy Callaway can play all those positions, by the way. The other wide receivers, Cedric Tillman, and then Anderson Kobe. So many of these wide receivers will play. Don't hear me wrong. All these wide receivers will play. There'll be a lot that rotates in and out. Your quarterback's Joe Milton. Running back is Tyon Evans or Jabari Small. I've talked about those guys, 1A and 1B. They'll likely be close to splitting the carry and the workload in the backfield. And then Jalen Wright, who I think is going to be phenomenal in this offense. It just might take him a little while to kind of grow into it, if that makes sense. Real quick, we shift over to the defensive side of the football. Again, defensive line, it's the same, guys. Like wide receivers, there's going to be so many guys that rotate in, but this is how they put it out there in depth chart week number one. Doesn't mean these guys are going to be full-blown starters, but it's just something to work off of. Defensive end, you got Jaquan Blakely, Caleb Tremblay. Defensive tackle, you got Matthew Butler, Latrell Bumpus. Defensive tackle, you have Elijah Simmons, Deshaun Terry. Defensive end, you have Tyler Barron or Byron Young, Roman Harrison. That's your defensive line, okay? No Aubrey Solomon's listed there. No Amari Thomas. Those guys will play. I'm actually kind of shocked that Amari Thomas is not listed in the two deep. I thought he had a good camp. And I'm actually kind of shocked Elijah Simmons is listed as a starter right now, because if you guys listened to Rodney Gardner a couple weeks ago, I mean, he all but came out and said that Elijah Simmons wasn't a factor right then and there. He's got to lose weight. Very down on Elijah Simmons that day he met with the media. He was trying to motivate him, obviously. Maybe message was received, but that's what we got to work with right now. Keep in mind, too, the depth chart, defense is multiple. A lot of times, Tyler Barron and Byron Young will be on the field at the same time throughout the season, sometimes only one of them, depending on if they have a star position or if they want to go three traditional defensive linemen or four, so or two. It just kind of depends on that. Middle linebacker, Juwan Mitchell, Aaron Beasley. Weak side linebacker, Jeremy Banks, Solon Page. No surprise there. Cornerbacks, Alante Taylor, Warren Burrell, your starters. Your backups, Brandon Turnage and Kenneth George. So there goes the answer of who was that number three and four cornerback. It was Kenneth George and then Brandon Turnage, with Kamal Haddon likely to be the fifth guy. The star is Theo Jackson, Danico Slaughter. No surprise there. Your safeties, no surprise. Jalen McCullough, Trayvon Flowers, your starters. Backing up, Christian Charles, a true freshman, and Tamarian McDonald, your sophomore. Your specialist, Paxton Brooks is your punter. No surprise. Kickoff man, Paxton Brooks is that. No surprise. Matthew Solanski is your long snapper. He did it last year. Your holders, Paxton Brooks. He's done it for years. Your kickoff returners, Tyon Evans, Valus Jones Jr. No surprise there. Punt returner, Theo Jackson. No surprise there. We told you that was going to happen. It's place kicker Chase McGrath or Toby Wilson. It's going to be Chase McGrath. I'll be shocked if it's Toby Wilson, but there is an or there. So there's your depth chart. I know I blew through that really quick. We'll talk more about this in one of the questions for Twitter Tuesday. But again, this is not permanent. This is not etched into stone. It's just something to work off of. There will be plenty of wide receivers that will play. There will be plenty of defensive linemen that will play. Guys will rotate in and out. I promise you that. So that's a little bit on the depth chart. And of course, Joe Milton being QB1 for the University of Tennessee here in week number one. In segment number two, we will get into our Twitter Tuesday edition of the show. But first, Sweat Block. It's doctor recommended, doctor created. Works up to 7 days per use. Dry shirt guarantee. A Sweat Block doesn't keep you dry. You get your money back. It's featured and tested on The Rachel Ray Show by firefighters. It's the bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years, over 13,000 reviews. It's manufactured in the United States. Hey guys, wear what you want to wear. It's your little secret to confidence. This is a must-have for everyone's toiletry bag, whether it's for a big presentation at work or a hot date on a Saturday night. Everyone can benefit. Okay, it is hot out there. It's the middle of August. We're all out there. If we're just walking to our car, we're walking from one building to the next. If your work takes you outside, we're all sweating right now. It's a little uncomfortable to talk about. You got the seepage through the back of your shirt, the pit stains, whatever the case may be. Hey, I've got it. I know that I'm not alone. But what can help us all is Sweat Block. So if someone you love or someone you love is dealing with this, the third time's a charm. You got to go ahead and check out Sweat Block, okay? You can get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com using that promo code Locked On. That's 20% off sweatblock.com using the promo code Locked On, or you can buy it at Amazon or your local CVS. And before we get into Twitter Tuesday, let me remind you guys again about a proud sponsor of this show. That's Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. So why endure often the pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning at the counter while the person behind that counter orders the parts on their computer? Hey, they choose the brand only their warehouse carries. So you have a computer. You have access to rockauto.com at home and right in your pocket. You can take care of it for yourself. You can save time and money when using rockauto.com. Don't spend up to 30%, 50%, sometimes even 100% more for the same parts from the chain store or the car dealership when you can guide them at rockauto.com. Serving auto parts to customers online for over 20 years, to the do-it-yourselfers and the professionals. Rock Auto prices are always reliably low for every single customer. They have everything you could possibly need, from brake parts to tail lamps to motor oils, even new carpets. Go and check out their easy-to-use website today to find the solution for all of your auto part needs. So I encourage you right now to go to rockauto.com, see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. It's amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Segment two of a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. It starts now. Again, I'm your host, Eric Kane, @_Kaner on Twitter, @LockedOnVols. Guys, I appreciate you for getting all of your submissions in here for Twitter Tuesday. Got a lot of questions, got a lot of comments. I'm going to blow through these. I'm going to answer them, though. Don't worry. I'm going to blow through them, though, pick up the pace a little bit because, again, we had to go over QB1, which is Joe Milton, and a little bit about the depth chart in segment number one. But great, guys. I could have expanded this on into three segments. Y'all did awesome. Keep those questions coming in. It doesn't have to be on a Monday or a Sunday or, you know, for Tuesday. It can be throughout the week, and I'll bookmark those and keep them ready to roll. So let's get into it. Shane Smith says, Twitter Tuesday, has there been any talk of moving Amari McNeil to offense in light of the lack of numbers at tackle? I watched his highlight reel on Rivals and thought he looked really good on offense. I think it would be a good idea. Hey, Shane, you and me both, my friend. He was a guy that can play both, came in here and, you know, was being recruited by as an offensive tackle for a lot of schools as well. But I'm pretty sure he was promised by the prior coaching staff to play defense when he came in here. And so that's where he's going to start out. Kind of like maybe Kamen Marley. I think the reason he's a wide receiver right now is because there were some promises in recruiting. Even though this staff was not here to make those promises, I think they're honoring those promises. And so, you know, we'll have to see. I couldn't agree with you more, though, man. I mean, offensive tackle, you're so shallow with numbers. And even though he wouldn't be an immediate fix over there, he'd be another body that you kind of throw into the mix and see what you got there. So we'll have to see. He's not a fixture on the defensive line right now, likely looking at a redshirt year, but he's an offensive lineman as well. At least he did in college. He was recruited to play offensive line by many, many schools, even Tennessee. So we'll have to see if maybe there's a position change down the line at some point. All right, so let's go to Corbin Suter. Hey, Eric, can't remember if this has been asked already. If so, my bad. That's never your bad. For Twitter Tuesday, what is the most important thing you want to see from the team on Thursday night? Corbin, this is a great question. And in fact, Corbin's question, I want you guys to tweet me, treat it like another Twitter Tuesday the rest of the week until kickoff if you want to. Send me in what you guys want to see from the Volunteers on Thursday night. Is it a blowout? Is it efficient offense? Is it sacks on sacks on sacks? Is it all the above? What do you guys want to see from the Volunteers against Bowling Green on Thursday? It's an inferior opponent, so you all got something you want to see most importantly. So sparked by Corbin Suter's question, you guys can send me in your submissions. We'll go over them tomorrow and Thursday if we have time. But to answer your question, Corbin, this is a great question. For me, a clean and efficient offensive game. It's not going to be perfect. There are going to be mistakes. Okay, this is game number one. New quarterback, new offense, new coaching staff. It's not going to be as crisp as you want it to be. But when you're playing an inferior opponent like Bowling Green, especially the likes of Bowling Green, that is just atrocious. It'll be better than it was last year, okay? Despite losing a lot of its top guys from that 0-5 season where you gave up 310 yards on average per game on the ground, where you scored only 11 points on offense per game, when you gave up at least 35 points to the opposing offense every single game and lost every game by 25 points or more. The bar is so low. It's like Tennessee's offense the last couple years. The bar is so low, they'll be better, right? But you need to try to focus on playing a clean game. I'm not saying stats. I'm not saying Joe Milton needs to go out and throw for 350 yards, rush for 50 yards, and score four touchdowns. I'm not getting into that. It's just, can you play turnover-free football? Can you play efficient football on third downs? Can you get this offense running at the tempo that maybe Josh Heupel doesn't want it to be, but an efficient, fast tempo? Defensively, can you create turnovers? Can you pressure the quarterback? Tennessee better pressure the quarterback. The offensive line is not good, okay? You've got some edge rushers. You actually got some depth there a little bit starting out the season. We'll have to build some more if you're Tennessee. But can you get to the quarterback and bring him down? Can you create negative plays? Can you be good on third downs? And can you create turnovers? That's kind of what I'm looking for on Thursday night. Will Tennessee excel in all those categories? Probably not, but can you excel in a number of those categories? Get off to a good start because, again, the challenge next Saturday will be even tougher whenever Pittsburgh comes to town for the Johnny Majors Classic. So, Corbin, great question. Again, guys, what do you want to see from Tennessee on Thursday night? You can tweet me in there. We'll get them in the rest of the show this week if we can. Let's move on now to Andrew McGinnis. If I can find your message here. Twitter Tuesday. Who is going to be the play caller for offense this season? It's going to be Josh Heupel. When Golish was asked, he deflected it and it said it was a Coach Heupel question. What are your thoughts on that? Go Vols. Well, in short, I was trying to explain this to one of my coworkers today. I think we get to talk to assistants, which is awesome, okay? Because we hardly got to do that at all when Jeremy Pruitt was here. It's great to talk to assistants, but whenever you ask them pretty much anything outside of their position or team culture or anything like that. You know, whenever you ask about an injury, whenever you ask about a transfer, whenever you ask about a coaching decision, stuff like a quarterback decision, whatever the case may be, they're always going to deflect to the head coach. They're never going to answer that. So I think that's kind of what Alex Golish was doing. Josh Heupel said in his opening press conference he's likely to call offense. He worked with Alex Golish before last year. To my knowledge, Josh Heupel called the offense last year. I would assume Josh Heupel will be calling the offense this year. If not, I'll be shocked, and I will let you guys know. But Josh Heupel is going to be calling the plays. Part two of my question, if Heifel is calling plays, how many other head coaches are play callers for offense or defense in the SEC? Andrew, I meant to look this up earlier today, man, and I got to tell you, I didn't look it up for sure, but off the top of my head, I can give you a few that I'm kind of thinking about. So Derek Mason, though he's not a head coach in the SEC anymore, at times he called the defense for Vanderbilt. Mike Leach, I think he might be calling the offensive plays for Mississippi State. Dan Mullen at parts and times at Florida, I think he was prepared to give up play calling duties before his quarterback coach left in the offseason, so he might be calling plays again this year. Clark Lee, he's been the defensive play caller for Notre Dame the past couple of years. I would assume he will be doing that for Vanderbilt this year as well. Lane Kiffin does not call his offensive plays. He and Jeff Leiby really collaborate and do it together. So I'll say Lane Kiffin calls offensive plays, but you know Jeff Leiby's right there with him as well. Jeremy Pruitt for the first year he called defensive plays at Tennessee before handing it off to Derek Ansley. But you guys know as well as I do, Jeremy Pruitt was very very. Active in the headsets and told both coordinators what he wanted to run. And because he was the head coach, that's what he had to do. So, Andrew, I hope that answers your question. I'll get some more clarity on coaches around the SEC that call their own plays. But that's pretty much what I got here off the top of my head. Last one here in segment number two, we'll go to Stephen Skidmore. And his question is, what is your prediction for rush yards and pass yards Tennessee will gain on Thursday? How many will they give up? I think Tennessee has the potential to make some huge numbers, but they could give up a good amount too. Judging by the stats from Bowling Green last year, I doubt they will produce much offense. They will get lucky with blown coverages and missed tackles, though. So, Stephen, to answer your question, it also goes along with what Jonathan Powell was asking as well. I mean, I haven't really given it much thoughts in terms of stats that I expect to see from Tennessee on Thursday. I just want to see Tennessee play a clean game and get after the quarterback defensively. I think if they do that, just overwhelmingly more talented rosters, right? And that'll just take over. You know, if I had to put some numbers on it, Tennessee better score 35 plus. I think it'll be very easily. Tennessee can score 35 plus, but I don't want to say Tennessee better score 49, right? I don't want to do that, but I think Tennessee can score 35 plus. I think Tennessee can win by at least three touchdowns, probably more, but at least three touchdowns. You'd like to see your starting quarterback throw two touchdown passes. You'd like to see your starting quarterback not turn it over. You'd like to see Tennessee get over about, you know, 175 yards to 200 yards on the ground and rack up around 450 yards of total offense. That's what I'll say. I'd like to see about three or four sacks defensively and at least two turnovers created. So I hope that kind of answers your question there. Real quick, too, one note before we get into segment number three. Tyler Hazlitt tweeted at me and said, the way Kaner's talking on Locked On Vols, I'm really feeling the 34.5 for Tennessee. Now, that is the line. Let me just tell you, by the way, Tyler, appreciate you listening. Appreciate you chiming in. I don't know if you listen to the starting lineups in the morning on D-Sports Animal, but, man, it's kind of funny because I was very much against Tennessee in that line this morning. And I'm going to say that way. Not because I don't think Tennessee can cover it, but, guys, we're talking if Tennessee wins 41-7, okay? 41-7. Or 40-7, right? Tennessee doesn't cover that line. But I mean, it's a dominating win, right? You would take 40-7 game one, right? But if you win 40-7, Tennessee doesn't cover that line. So that's why when you go over 27 points, unless you're Alabama, in my opinion, I stay away usually. I'm not touching it. First of all, I do like to gamble. You guys know about BetOnline AG. I endorse them on this podcast. I make some money, but I don't ever gamble on Tennessee because I cover the team. I don't think it's right morally. We can have the greater conversation of gambling later, but I don't gamble on Tennessee because I cover the team. So I wasn't going to touch this game anyway, but the line is so large and I don't like that. So I stay away. My advice, stay away. But again, you guys do what you want to do. Go make your coins, and I'll be happy for you either way. So, Tyler, appreciate the shout-out, man, but it's kind of funny because, again, I had that conversation this morning on the starting lineup. I'm like, no, I'm staying away 100% because, again, Tennessee can beat the brakes off of Bowling Green and still not cover because it's 34.5. It's such a large number. So, interesting there. We'll get to some more of your Twitter Tuesday questions in segment number three, but coming up first, guys, I'll remind you about betonline.ag. How about that transition? It's time of the year again to look at the gridiron, the football. It's all here, college and pro, and this is your number one spot for betting on all that action. It is betonline.ag. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including The web's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest. It's the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest, open now at betonline.ag. Okay, be sure to take advantage of the opening day super promo as well, where you make a bet on Thursday, September 9th, the defending Super Bowl champion Buccaneers taking on the Dallas Cowboys. If you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up to use that promo code NFL100. So for the super promo opening day bet, promo code NFL100. For just your welcome bonus if you're a first-time user on that first-time deposit, BetOnline is going to match you 100% by using the promo code LOCKEDON. It's incredible. So there's plenty to take advantage of right now with football right on the horizon. Be sure to take advantage of all those deals because BetOnline is the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. From football to basketball to boxing, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the great offers available right now for the 2021 season. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for a 100% welcome bonus at BetOnline. BetOnline, it's your online sportsbook experts. All right, we got a final segment left of a Tuesday Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Thanks for being here. A Locked On Vols podcast every weekday morning, wherever you get your podcast, completely free. And you can hit that link in my bios at underscore Kane or at Locked On Vols to find out which avenue you would like to listen on. Okay, guys, first and foremost, I'm sorry. This is a long podcast. I apologize. I tried to go as fast as I possibly could, but we'll get into it. I'll keep this brief here in segment three. More Twitter Tuesday questions. I'll have answers, or at least I'll try to have answers. Hole in the roof. He says, what do you make of Solomon and Amari Thomas not being listed on the depth chart? Yeah, I kind of spoke on that a little earlier, and I was really surprised Amari Thomas was not listed on the 2D. You know, I thought he was going to be a guy, going to be, you know, one of those, he's a younger guy, but one of those main contributors on the defensive line, and he still can be. Just because you're not listed on the 2D doesn't mean you're not going to play, and especially positions like wide receiver and defensive line, that is a committee type position. And so I expect Amari Thomas to be a factor. We'll have to see how much Aubrey Solomon plays. You know, he was in the doghouse there in spring. He has lost some weight. He has made a commitment to his body to get down about 25 to 30 pounds. He looks a lot better. But we'll have to see exactly how much he plays. I expect him to be out there a little bit, but you know, he's not the guy that Tennessee thought they were getting, you know, 3 years ago when he came over via Michigan as well through the transfer portal. So still time to change that narrative, but we will have to see. But he's going to be working from the back up to the pack here to kick things off. All right, we'll move on to Tyler. Tyler wants to, on the quarterbacks at least, in terms of week one starters, does it even really matter about week one starters? Can they throw a bunch of those guys out there and just kind of see who is more impressive in the game or in practice? What are your thoughts on that? If we get up early, do the coaches start putting in others to see how they fare? Yeah, I agree. You know, Tyler, I think Tennessee is going to play three quarterbacks on Thursday again because I think Tennessee is going to be winning very, very big. I would say week one starters do matter because those are who you think are your best options. I do not think that this is still a quarterback competition. I haven't for about 2 weeks now. I don't think that it's Joe Milton, your starter, but if Harrison Bailey goes in there and balls out, week two, it's Harrison Bailey. I don't think it's that type of situation. I do think the coaches want to get all three quarterbacks work, simply because they've been hitting the same guys. They've been going against the same guys in practice for the past month. It's time to get out there. Josh Heupel said this today, you know, or yesterday. It's time to get out here and hit somebody else. It's time to get out there and play somebody. It's not going to be perfect, but it's time to start your season. And so I think that's kind of the case there. So to answer your question, I do believe that week one starters matter in terms of the depth chart, in terms of who's out there, play number one on Thursday. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be a competition still ensuing. All right, we move on to Jordan. Jordan wants to know, now that we are out of camp and we have a general idea of where everything shakes out, which position group do you see being the biggest surprise and which one do you see being the most consistent? Good question. Real good question. Biggest surprise? It's kind of hard to do this because all we've been doing for the entire offseason, even last spring, is just talking. I mean, now we're finally going to have something to talk about in terms of these games, right? I feel like I've talked the running back position to nauseam, and to where now if Jabari Small goes out there and balls out or Tyon Evans goes out there and balls out, you won't even consider that a surprise, if that makes sense. You know, like Eric Gray who, right? By the way, I think Eric Gray would have been phenomenal in this offense. But with Jabari Small and Tyon Evans, hopefully what Tennessee those two guys giving them. You know, sure, you want Eric Gray on your team, but those two guys more than make up for what Eric Gray would give you, if that makes sense. I hope that makes sense. Maybe you disagree with that, and that's completely fine. I was talking with a coworker about that today too. But as far as position groups, I think will give you a lot, or it will be a surprise. I think this offensive line will bounce back. I just don't like the depth of it. I mean, you're one injury away from being in trouble, like real trouble. So I'll say the offensive line, if you can stay healthy. I'll say the defensive line, just in terms of getting better coaching and how bad it was last year. I think that could be a surprise too, and it's another one of those situations where it can only get better, right? Be a surprise. Let's go tight ends. I really like Tennessee's tight ends. It's a big focal point of the offense, especially since offensive coordinator Alex Golish coaches at the tight ends. I think they're going to be a huge factor in the red zone. I really, really do. Josh Heupel loves to throw to his tight ends in the red zone. So I'll say tight ends as being the biggest surprise with Princeton fan Jacob Warren. But also, guys, if you're one injury away from being in a world of hurt, you got two freshmen behind those guys, and they are not ready to play right now, according to Alex Golish, essentially what he said last week. Last one, we will go to Moody, and Moody wants to know, Heupel seemed to go for it inside the 25 more times than not at UCF. Seems like he didn't trust his kicker. Does that trend continue this season, or does he take the points? Well, kind of on that same avenue in terms of in the red zone I was just talking about. Well, Moody, to be completely honest, I'm not sure about the kicking situation at UCF. I'm not sure, you know, who it was, what the history of that kicker was. I just know that Josh Heupel is aggressive, right? And I think he'll still continue to be aggressive here at Tennessee. You know, Tennessee's kicking situation, you're not going to have an All-American, okay? Chase McGrath is not an All-American. I mean, hell, he lost his starting job at one point in time at UCF. He didn't play in 2020, but over his career, he's been a good kicker, you know, a good Power 5 kicker. I think his long is somewhere in the high 40s. I don't think that he's particularly has a muscle leg, if that makes sense. So, you know, if you're kind of there in four down territory, more so than not, I expect Tennessee's offense to keep the offense on the field and go for it. But overall, you have a veteran kicker, Chase McGrath, who's been there, done that. He's kicked in big time games before. So I expect when the points are there, Tennessee will take them for sure. Unless, you know, you're down some scores and you gotta play catch up. In my opinion, that's what I expect to happen there. So, Moody, good question. And thank you all for sending in your Twitter Tuesday submissions, questions, thoughts, concerns. What do you guys expect out of Tennessee on Thursday night? That was a comment from, or a question from Corbin. And, you know, what's the most important thing you're looking for, you want to see Tennessee to accomplish? And we can talk about that the rest of the week on up until kickoff. Bowling Green, Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Been a fun show. QB1 was announced. Depth chart was released, and we had plenty of Twitter Tuesday fun, guys. I appreciate you for tuning in. Now that we're done here with Locked On Vols, check out Locked On Bets. Your boy Q, handicapping expert Lee Sterling, they get you set with the daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcast. Guys, I appreciate it. Hey, when we talk again tomorrow, it's the day before kickoff. Can you believe it? Game week is finally here. Tennessee Bowling Green with QB1 Joe Milton running out there first on Thursday. Had to slide that in there. Again, the news of the day. Guys, I appreciate it. We'll talk again tomorrow on a Wednesday. But until then, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody.